Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Good. Well, we have a couple items today. The events of the world have not been quite settled, but they always could be worse. So if they could be worse later on, then our job is to prevent the problems from coming, and that's what we frequently do, and that's what we tried to do when we were in Washington, tried to stop a lot of unnecessary killing in the Middle East. But guess what? That's even on our topic today. We're going to talk about the Middle East. We want to know which is the good war and which is the bad war, because we're only for the good wars.
Yes.
Where there's minimal violence, and there's always a result of more liberty for both sides. That's the good war. But you know what? There haven't been very many good wars. Most wars end up in death and destructions and poverty and not very good. But anyway, I want to start off with talking about our friend Tucker. Tucker has been around for a good bit. I remember he was, I think it was MSNBC at one time. That was before I had ever run for office, and he had a program, and he was friendly and would have me on and all, and then he lost that job. But that didn't hurt him any.
No.
He lost that job, and then I met him then later on. I said, how come you're not on there? He says, it's all your fault. because they said he was way too friendly with tolerating some of my views. But he's obviously has a strong libertarian streak in him.
Yeah.
And he's also has a podium, which
I think is a big podium. Yeah.
But there's some people that do not like his podium, and they'd like to do harm to him. He was accused, of course, of conspiracies with the Russians. But the big deal here is that it was brought to the public attention in a way where Tucker swears, and I think he has the proof, that it came about because the NSA was spying on him.
Yeah.
They were trying to prevent an insurrection.
Yeah, and, whatever.
He was a suspicious character. So civil liberties and First Amendment rights mean nothing. So it really looks like they were involved, and then they went back and forth. I think the truth is getting out here, and I think that's good. But it's sort of sad. It's this whole thing. Is it our government that we have to worry about the most? And I say, yeah, pretty much so. The government was a bigger problem with what went on in the last year and a half with the viral infections that people were concerned about. But it was obviously the government's overreaction and the use of it for political reasons that was a real problem. But NSA, and I keep thinking, why is that such a stretch? Because if you look at all the assassinations worldwide and domestic, even American assassinations, we've had government agencies involved. And of course, for many, many years, I would refuse to even entertain those thoughts.
Yeah.
But I've been forced to at least entertain the thoughts and looking at the evidence of how often our government does get involved. And that's what this subject is all about. Was the government involved? Were they spying on them? Were they trying to do harm to Tucker? Because Tucker is not bashful in trying to reveal what he believes sincerely, and most of the time I agree with him, what the truth is.
Yeah.
And it's good that he is in that position, and there's a lot of people that trust him to tell the truth.
Well, that's interesting, because the whole story started, I guess, about a week ago when Tucker Carlson went on a show, which is the top-ranked show in the country. So obviously there are a lot of jealous people who want to take him down. And he said, hey, I was approached by an NSA whistleblower, and they told me that my communications were being intercepted. And of course, at the time, CNN gleefully compared him to Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist. He's got these crazy ideas. And then last week he said, well, he was in town for a funeral. A journalist came to him with evidence that the NSA was not only intercepting his communications, but was leaking them selectively to journalists in an effort to discredit Tucker Carlson. These are pretty serious allegations. The backstory is that back in spring, Tucker Carlson was reaching out to some intermediaries to try to get an interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin, which, of course, anyone would want it. We'd have him on our show, right? It would be fascinating. There's no crime in journalism unless your name is Julian Assange, right? So anyway, the NSA intercepted these communications with these Russian media intermediaries, and then they selectively leaked it, at least according to what we're seeing come together now, selectively leaked it to press outlets to make Tucker Carlson look like a bad guy, look like a disloyal American, look like the new Russiagate, right? And so so now this is coming out, this is exposed. The NSA's denial is fascinating because the denial is Tucker Carlson was not the, quote, target of any surveillance. And that may actually be true, but it's irrelevant. Because, Dr. Paul, as you know, what they would do if Tucker was communicating with a foreign national on U.S. soil, they would have the ability to monitor the communications of that foreign national. That's part of what the NSA does, like it or not. That's what they do. However, the American citizen who was involved must remain masked. That's according to NSA protocol. When it's an American, it would be American number one or whatever they would call it, U.S. citizen one. They couldn't say his name. So far, so good. But what happens is someone went in there and unmasked him and said, person one is Tucker Carlson, and then leaked that to the media in an attempt to discredit him. This is nothing new because they did the exact same thing to Michael Flynn. Remember, he spent just a few days as President Trump's national security advisor when they unmasked him from an intercept of his communication with then Russian ambassador to the U.S. Kislyak, and discredit him and got him fired. So there is a precedent for this, but it is extremely chilling when you see journalism and journalists being intimidated by secret parts of the U.S. government.
You know, Flynn then was charged with a crime and was penalized in prison, but finally got a pardon and got out. So in this case, I think what you just described sounds to me like a crime.
Yeah. yes, for sure.
Are they going to put the right people in jail? No, they're going to put somebody else in jail if they can.
Probably
not the people who broke. It was Flynn wasn't the one that orchestrated the breaking of the law.
Yeah.
But they didn't get punished. And that so often happens when there's been some episodes, use of the FBI, and they break a case, but they were really the guilty party.
Yeah,
but they never go to jail on that. One case, they actually got a promotion, you know, because they were involved in it. But you know, this is related to what went on January 6th, because they justified the insurrection.
We
got to, you know, this is National Security Agency. They're important. They protect us and they take care of us. So that's all they're doing, and it just happens that Tucker was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know,
it has nothing to do with him and his right to deliver a message to us over television. So and you know, and I think there was a time when most people, you know, they would understand the Constitution that we defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But I think my image of a domestic terrorist was always different than what we have now. Now it's a careless definition. It just might be a very innocent person, but it's always being used. And this to me, very, very serious and very, very bad. And I still think that this has a ways to go, and we keep talking about it. Is what about the people I was mentioning a minute ago about maybe the wrong people go to prison?
Yeah.
And here we have, what, how many hundreds of people that were very innocent when it came to an insurrection went into the Capitol and sometimes aided by the guards on the Capitol, and they're still in prison, and that. That to me is something that the American people should wake up to, but it's hard to wake up people if they're getting incessantly reports from the alternate media, the regular media, the TVs, And the people listen to that, and you know, it's hard for people to generally go search and wonder who's telling the truth. But that's really what the issue is how do you find truth under today's circumstances? It just happens that our evaluations come down quite frequently on with a different opinion about what truth is compared to what most people are hearing on national television and social medias.
This is really state terrorism because people are afraid to speak out against what's happening to these 500 and some people who are arrested, many of them being held. People are afraid to speak out against this injustice because they don't want to be the next ones picked up. They can clearly see that these people were arrested for no good reason. So if the government can arrest people for no good reason, gosh, they could arrest me for criticizing them arresting other people. This is something classic out of, you know, the Soviet Union in the 20s, this kind of approach. But let's put up that first clip. This is the news outlet Axios that got the NSA material on Tucker Carlson. They called it a scoop, and they ran with it. And this started the whole chain of events off. Tucker Carlson did have Glenn Greenwald, another friend of ours, on his show last night. And just put this next one up if you can. Greenwald had a very important observation. It is one of the gravest crimes in the U.S. Code for the NSA to leak the contents of communications that it intercepts between a foreign official and an American citizen. Gravest crimes. The question is someone going to have to pay for it? And Greenwald later made the very important point. Can you imagine, Dr. Paul, if in the Trump administration, Trump's intelligence services had leaked embarrassing information that they intercepted from Rachel Maddow or Jim Acosta or someone? They leaked this to Fox News in an attempt to discredit Rachel Maddow. Can you imagine the outrage? There would be yet another impeachment process going through. It's a huge scandal. But sadly, the left now is so corrupted, and much of the right is so corrupted, that at first they said, oh, Tucker Carlson, he's a real Alex Jones, what a kook. And now it comes out as true, and they say, well, he deserved it. You know, he was collaborating with Putin. He deserves it anyway. So they turn on a dime, and they just don't care about truth.
See, I see all this in the context of there's certain people who would like to see chaos,
yeah.
And this is what's doing it. And also a radical Marxist, and there's a few around, on principle, and I say
yeah.
that with tongue in cheek, on principle, they don't believe in truth. And they believe that they have an obligation to lie. And it's interesting that individuals like this, we call them sociopath and
yeah.
psychopath, they have no sense of guilt. And yet there's other groups that for all kinds of reasons would like to see them be successful. And you'd think, you know, what I keep wondering is, why haven't people been aware of what happened, you know, in the 20th century, you know, and how badly, and why current events, the more radical the socialists are, you know, in Zimbabwe or Venezuela, the worse the country is.
Yeah.
But what about in a more narrow sense? What if you go to our big cities and find out the more socialized it is, the more authoritarian it is, and the more they've bend to these rules, a little bit of chaos doesn't hurt anything, you know, the better off it is. And look at what's going on there. But I do have to, as much as I complain about that situation, we also know how many people are just really getting disgusted with
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And I think the goal of somebody trying to present the truth is to prevent the violence, because it might be at a point where people say, you know, the government's not going to do anything about it. The political process is corrupted. You're not even sure who wins these elections anymore.
Yeah.
So they're disgusted with that. So there will be a natural tendency, it's a human tendency, to strike out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you see some of these stories, just even the type of tragedy that went along with lockdown with the kids, how tragic these stories are. And now we're hearing that people die.
Yeah.
And yesterday we reported on this fact that, well, there's still not everybody doing what we're telling you, and we're going to have people knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And get ready, pull up your sleeve, you're getting your shot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that in a way, hopefully it will backfire on them. People yeah. say, hey, you're not going to do that to my kids, you know, and that's what they need to do. Standing up against them is a real dilemma, because when you do, in many times you're practicing civil disobedience, and that, of course, gets a little bit risky. But yeah. of course, Martin Luther King believed in that. He says in resistance, but it should be nonviolence, and you should challenge the law when it's wrong.
And some of the states now are speaking out. The Attorney General of Texas said, not on my watch, you're not going to come door to door. And I think Arizona, his equivalent in Arizona, said the same thing. But to finish out on Tucker Carlson, why are they doing this, and why is the media going along so much? And I would suggest, and this is not an original thought, a lot of it has to do with ratings and jealousy, because CNN's ratings have gone down 75% since Trump has been out of office. Literally no one is watching this. They tuned in for the Daily Dose of Hate, and now that the bad orange man is gone, nobody wants to watch little Cuomo and all these guys. So if they can make Tucker the new Trump, then wow, maybe our ratings will go up again and people will start watching us. It's just a suspicion, but I bet it has a lot to do with that.
You know, I've used the word jealousy a lot, because I think that's where it all started. Because Trump comes along, and I think you'd go along with the idea that he was unorthodox.
Yeah, to
you
say
know,
the least.
And he was in their face, and he challenged political correctness, and he was getting supporters. And I think other politicians were jealous as all get yeah. out, and the media didn't know how to handle it. They had to report it, and you know, it was a sort of a mixed bag. But that jealousy, especially when he won the election, it turned into hatred and exaggeration and a willingness to tell the lies and do whatever they can to destroy him.
Yeah.
So not that he's a perfect individual.
No,
we're not
going to
take that point.
No.
But the whole thing is, it was the establishment, the deep state, that he was challenging. There's many times we said we should challenge a little bit more on some of those events. So
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the next one we want to talk about briefly, really, is a kind of a follow-up in a way, and that's to a story we talked about last week when Biden once again decided to bomb our allies, the Iraqis, and also bomb the Syrians on the Syria-Iraqi border. And once again, he claimed, we're doing this as a deterrent. This is going to deter them. Well, the strategy is not working, because there have been, I think, no less than 5 attacks on U.S. bases in the area in the past 3 days. If anything, it is spurring these militias who, let's not forget, were formed to fight ISIS when Iraq was overtaken by ISIS. It's spurring these militias to actually get more aggressive, tit-for-tat responses, and it's going to end up, there were some Americans wounded in some of the most recent attacks, but these increasing attacks, the idea that they're going to dissuade the people who they feel are protecting their own soil and territory, that they're going to stop doing it, is false. It's a losing strategy. It's a strategy that's not working. And the only solution, we would say, would be to just get out. They don't want you there, you know?
You know, I see where Biden is going to have a mission accomplished ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And it's supposed to be connected to 9/11. That we went in there and we punished the Afghan, and we're leaving, and we have this so-called victory that goes on. And it's really interesting to me, because when Biden came in, he says, that's a mess over there. And he says, I didn't vote for that Iraq war, and that Iraq war has to end. That's a bad war.
Yeah.
But there's a good war next door. Why don't we go over there? And he described Afghanistan war is a good war. So aren't they doing exactly the opposite right now?
Yeah.
We've cleared this up we're ready to get out and leave Afghanistan and because right now it looks like it's leading to more trouble. So we have to go back to the good war again.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't matter to those who are making money off it. It sort of like reminds me of the contradictions and the change in opinion in the vaccine stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have a rule and you'd have all these statistics, and then they'd flip them the next day. You know, nobody knew what the rules were.
Yeah.
So, and in foreign policy, I think you can probably argue that too.
I think that's a good point that you make, which is that the war machine, the oil that keeps greasing the wheels of D.C. is all around, and not only in Iraq. They don't want to leave Iraq, But also in Afghanistan, we have a really good article up from a retired Indian diplomat on RonPaulInstitute.org website about this, about really sort of transitioning to a hybrid war. So you can keep selling weapons, you can keep the mercenaries there, you can keep making money there. But you know, the whole thing about the fact that justifies us to continue bombing in Iraq reminds me of the old story, and we've repeated it many times, but you can never repeat this story too much. It's the time you were in the hearing, and you say, well, why are we over there? They're not attacking us. Dr. Paul, they're attacking us. They're shooting at us when we're bombing them from our planes. So they're shooting us because they don't want us in their country.
They're the aggressors.
They're the aggressors. So they don't want us there. The Iraqi parliament doesn't want us there. We are uninvited in Syria and Iraq. We're occupying illegally these territories. What's the point? Why not just get out?
Yeah, well, I wish that were the case. Yesterday, we wanted to give a little bit of credit to Biden about getting out of Afghanistan, but we really were reluctant to join in the celebration.
Yeah.
And I think as time goes on, we made the point also that there's going to be military people in the embassy.
Yeah.
And then that brought up, in my mind, thoughts about the embassy way back in 1979.
That's right.
You know, and how that was taken
over. Stupid idea.
But it's ongoing. Here's one headline. U.S. forces are under constant rain of fire in both Syria and Iraq.
Yeah.
So things didn't get calmed down. You'd think if you're moving out and taking yourself out of these war zones, things would get better. But they just shift them around. If you have trouble in Libya, go to Syria, that sort of thing. You always have a place you can go. 5 attacks in less than 72 hours. Injuries reported after 14 rockets hit base in Iraq.
Yeah.
So it's dangerous. This is not a cataclysmic type of bombing, but it's still there, and it opens the door to some serious problems and some accidents or some type of a false flag. You know, they'll go in and somebody's going to do something. In particular, to try to stir up more trouble. That's been known to happen, too.
Yeah, the administration is literally playing with the lives of American soldiers. Some of them will probably die because of this game that they're playing, and it'd be a nice time for Americans to stand up. I think you have a little something on our neighbors to the north, that great libertarian country that is so free and peaceful.
Yeah, and I think back about Canada. There are civil libertarians up there. I remember I was in the military. I wasn't looking to go to Canada, but I was paying attention because there were some people, including Muhammad Ali, realizing that the draft was a horrible, horrible situation. So people would, excuse me, people would leave the U.S. and the Canadian government sort of welcome them. They didn't say, okay, we have to maintain good relations with the United States. We're going to turn them over. That doesn't exist anymore. And evidently, their respect for civil liberties has gone downhill. We've talked a little bit about pre-crime hate bills because they're talking about them here. And this one's in Canada. Canada proposed Orwellian pre-crime hate crime bill. And some of these things are just horrible on what they might do under this bill, but that means this might be a model for what's coming. So basically it's like pre-crime. It's a potential victim feels that you might hate them, they can apply for what is essentially a restraining order. So don't look crosswise at me.
Can we do that to the government? I think Biden might hate me.
What more, the judge can demand that you surrender weapons. Oh, I would be so shocked if they did that. Wear a GPS monitor and remain under house arrest. Abstain from alcohol and submit to drug test. All just because you're a suspect because you might someday cause harm. Well, what about if you applied that to government agents?
Yeah, there
someday
you
may commit a crime against the American people. What are we going to do with you?
Yeah, do that, you know, to the NSA.
Especially if you're getting ready to bomb some foreign country. This is all without being charged. Nobody gets charged with a crime. And so this is just so horrible, and yet they're not all by themselves. They're not some country who knows where it's located,
yeah.
doing it. This is our neighbor. They learned good things from us, supposedly. But now, and I thought we could learn from them from years back during the Vietnam era, because there were some people there. I think the liberals were more progressive and had a little bit better idea of civil liberties, but not anymore.
Now it's over. Well, you have another bad news story out of Australia that you are going to bring up.
Yeah, this one is... We've seen the attack. I actually believe that the lockdown movement and this whole thing with the lockdown was designed for chaos and attacking our principles in Western civilization. And they were probably delighted when churches would roll over, and not they all did not roll over. Some stayed open, but when they stayed out, that pleased them, because that's what the planners of lockdown were all about.
Yeah.
But there was a fair amount of that. Hopefully, I think the churches are opening them up, and maybe we have won it temporarily, or a temporary victory.
Yeah.
But in Australia, not yet. Australian authorities banned church from singing. On Zoom. It's dangerous. I mean, they're in sight of riot. It's an insurrection. What if he sang a hymn? You know,
that's crazy.
It's the whole thing. They're not talking about promoting Christianity. That isn't the issue. It's just promoting your right to sing a song.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can do that, where you assume that the church speech and the religion would have maybe a special place in protection. Not so. Matter of fact, I think they really like to make these points, because, boy, they are really after us. We better be careful with what we say. If they will arrest a minister, I think that happened. You know,
yes.
They were ministers for saying something. He was causing the insurrection. That so that to me is another sad story. Maybe you have a good one.
Well, I've been asked to stop singing in church, but it had nothing to do with COVID. Well, I have something, my final couple of things are interesting, and this is big news. Let's look at this next clip. Just happened, just in, all spectators will be banned from the Tokyo venues at the Olympic Games, which are set to begin this month. They declared a coronavirus state of emergency, so nobody can go to the Olympics. And we shouldn't be surprised by the next clip in that case, then let's look at the next. This is becoming a fiasco. Sponsors abandon Tokyo Olympics as spectators officially banned from events. This is from Zero Hedge. It's unbelievable. But then I'm reading it and I'm thinking, Dr. Paul, it must be chaos in the streets in Japan. They must be dropping like flies. And so I went over to our handy dandy worldometer to look at what's happening in Japan. Let's have a look at what's happening. This is a catastrophe for Japan. Look at their numbers of daily deaths. They're actually going down, down, down. So they're going back in lockdown, which is insane. And my final point, Dr. Paul, is something maybe we'll look into again, but this was ridiculed all over the internet yesterday. Let's look at this next clip. Oh, they're taking down the insurrectionists. The FBI has seized a fully constructed U.S. Capitol Lego set from an alleged riot leader. They took his Lego. Let's look at the next one. This is from Summit News. FBI is ridiculed for seizing man's Lego set of U.S. Capitol. And then the subtitle, they're building a case piece by piece, which is pretty clever title. But that's just absurd.
It's pretty bad. Sometimes I want to react and say, that is so bad. They're just going to get more support for our position,
yeah.
But it doesn't always happen. Sometimes you do hear the stories like that. But I think they should take the lesson from Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, Singapore, has quit collecting data.
Yeah.
So that's great. And just think of what it would have been like. Does anybody make a case, or would they be willing to really, really put their reputation online, that we know absolutely if the government hadn't made all these reports for that year and a half when it was involved and when they got the warning from London and this sort of thing, and we got to do this, we got to do this. This is a worldwide event. How many people, if we had no reports, and I'm just still amazed and frightened by the fact that it was a worldwide fear-mongering and they were successful at this. But what if there were no reports of this? You know, what if they were like Singapore from the beginning?
Yeah.
There'd been people sick and people would have known about it, and there'd be a lot of people taking good advice and they would seek out medical care. All kinds of things could be happening, and maybe they'd have had a better understanding of masks. Once again, the kids, we talked about this the other day, but here's another story about how horrible these masks are for kids and the CO2. And I got to thinking, when I looked at this one, I said, I thought it was that CO2 that was going to kill everybody. But I used to, you know, get after them. I said, how can CO2 be so bad? We breathe it in and out all day, but if you get too much of it, with wearing a mask, that's okay. That's not a problem. Yeah. You know, that's too bad. But I do. I have such a strong conviction that free people can take care of their lives and their families better than people that depend on the government to take care of us. We do not need a village to take care of our kids, and we do not need a village to take care of all our lives either. That's our responsibility, and that would be a better world for it if we could.
Yeah, well, I just will remind our viewers, there's a link in the description to look at our conference coming up in September. We're going to have two really big announcements this week, but even without those two big announcements, next week I should say, speaker announcements, even without that, it's a great lineup, Dr. Paul. You're going to give a presentation. Judge Napolitano, we haven't seen Andrew Napolitano in a while. We're going to be so happy to visit with him. Gerald Celente, who spoke once before, he is great because he balances the rage at the attacks on our civil liberty with some humor, a little bit of, you know, laughing in there. We also have our good friend Jeff Dice from the Mises Institute. We have our great friend Gary Haven, a wonderful philanthropist, successful businessman, and really a freedom fighter, is going to be speaking. It's going to be a great event in D.C. Click on that link in the description. Just have a look and see if it's something that you might be interested in. We are actually just at the precipice now of going past the 50% of all available seats level being sold. It's unprecedented. It's taken us a month and a half or 2 months in the past to do this. We've done it in less than a week. So the tickets are going. When they're gone, they'll be gone. So if you're interested, go ahead and look at it.
One thing for sure, I know this is going to work because Daniel's on top of this, but I also remind him he's not taking any vacations here next month or two. He has to keep up on this and make his phone calls and have it all geared up. But I think I mentioned this once, but I was pleased that the conditions have changed, and this was a positive story, is the hotel that we've used up there for several years now, they called us, and it was a business decision. It was a decision because they'd like to get business back, and we always liked going there, and it was priced well, it was well located and all this. So they called, which meant that we had been calling, and the reason why that seemed to be different, we had called all last year looking for a place. You know, what do you guys do? Do you put masks on kids and all this stuff? But this was nice. So they're going to welcome us there. They're glad we're coming. We're glad we're going to go there. And I too agree with Daniel. It's going to be a good conference. And just dealing with civil liberties, I think that is key. Because if you can protect civil liberties, you can protect property. And if you can do that, that will be a great step toward freedom and liberty. But ultimately, for all the planning you do and all the laws that you write and all the constitutions that are written, nothing changes unless the people change. And the founders understood this. Yes, you can write a constitution, but if the people aren't willing and anxious and understand that they want to live in a free society, not much happens. So there are two things, and that is reaching out, try to change the rules and call attention to everything that the thugs are doing up in Washington and different places, and at the same time do our best to set an example that telling the truth is a little bit better than endorsing a system like those who are trying to take over the government and are already there, is that lying is okay. You know, it's the way you do it. It's a noble lie, you know, we can tell the lies. So anyway, we're looking forward to the conference and hope to see all y'all there. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.